Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
T-shirts are as ferocious as the dunks or bangouts Richard and Channing throw down from time to time, and their softness can't even be matched. Homage has been turning back the clock with throwback tees for years, from the NBA to the Ultimate Warrior, you know, the tee LeBron wore on the plane after leading the Cavs, to its first title the city had seen in over 50 years. Well, Homage tells the stories of triumph, individualism, and hustle, preserving the old school and creating new legacies. Go to homage.com, that's H-O-M-A-G-E, and pay homage with your favorite tee. Be sure to check out the NBA Jam tees and one exclusively made for me and you. We're road tripping at homage.com.
Hello, everybody. Another edition of Road Tripping. It's been a hell of a summer, guys. It's been a hell of a summer. We've done a lot, but we're here with the three people, really, that have helped carry road tripping, because Allie's in Cleveland, Channing doesn't care, and Rafa is doing whatever it is, again, that Rafa does. So we are here with my three amazing co-hosts that helped keep road tripping alive. Corinne Kaplan, Alex Curry, and Chris McGee, or Geeter. What's going on, guys?
Nothing.
Sad you're leaving.
Yeah, it's really bittersweet.
The good news is Channing's going to start caring on Tuesday.
Yeah, he will start. Once the season starts, Channing starts caring a lot more. But that's the funny thing about it, is that he does care. He just tries to be the really cool kid in school, and it's just like, I guess I could show up at your party.
It's his role.
Yeah, it's his role.
He plays
it's
hard to get. It's the DGAF.
Oh, so hard to get. I asked him. We were in Santa Barbara, so if you guys could tell by a lot of our like Instagram posts and stuff, we were all in Santa Barbara doing kind of like a team camaraderie, let's work out type thing, and it was good. And so I asked Channing. We were sitting there, and I was like, "Yo, what are we gonna do for the rest of the day?" And it was. He was like, I don't know, blah, blah. And I was like, we could record a podcast. He's like, I don't know. And you're just, I love
the psychology of it. You're like, if I make it seem like it's his idea, like if I said, what are we going to do? Like maybe he'll come to this conclusion himself.
No, he could have cared less, really and truly.
He's like, I don't know. We have like 8 hours. We still really have.
What are we going to do for eight hours? So took some hot tubs, watched some movies, which we'll get to in a little bit. So everything is good.
How was Santa Barbara?
Yeah.
Like, do you get a lot done? Is it
Santa Barbara?
Teaser of the season?
Santa Barbara is amazing. And for people that don't understand the premise behind Santa Barbara, this is the premise.
I would be one of those people. I only go there to wine drinks. So I don't know what you guys are doing. Why Santa Barbara?
Okay. So the premise behind Santa Barbara is this. When training camp starts, right? So training camp starts on Tuesday. Everyone shows up. You do media day on Monday. You shake everyone's hand. Hey, IT, nice to meet you. Jay, good to see you. We played together in Dallas. So you do all this, and then you go to training camp for 3 hours, and then you go home, right? You go home to your families. You go home to your kids. You're back. Guys are still moving in, getting settled. So you don't really see each other until you kind of get on the road. So the camaraderie builds kind of slowly. when you do something like this where everyone goes, we all stay in a hotel, we eat lunch together, we go to dinner together, we crack jokes, it just speeds up the camaraderie process. So now, you know, we're working out voluntarily. Guys are getting to know each other a lot quicker. We're spending more time together just kind of off the drop. So now when training camp starts, we've already been cracking jokes, telling stories.
It's like OTAs in football, right? Like, you know, you're together, you're working out. Yeah. You don't have to be there, but you should.
Yeah.
Has every team you've been on
done this?
Because I know the Kings do this as well before the season starts.
It's becoming more popular. I think younger teams do it because they just have to keep track of their younger guys.
Yeah.
Older guys do it. Like older, more veteran teams do it because they understand the importance of the process. The process is so,
it's
so
huge.
Important. Yeah.
Like the Lakers, their season was done April 12th.
And it's been a minute.
A lot of young boys on their team. So literally they were, almost every single guy was there throughout the summer. Cavs, Warriors, teams like that don't really have to do that, but it is great to get together before training camp, like you said, to get familiar with a couple of new guys and just start to put in the work.
So who was the biggest surprise, like, of the new people you met?
It's weird because you're not really meeting people for the first time. You're just having like more consistent.
You're meeting them as a teammate for the first time.
As a teammate. And I wouldn't say there was any surprise. I think fans should really, really look forward to the podcast that we're going to get with these new guys. It's going to be amazing. You know, Derrick Rose.
Well, there should be a hazing, right? If you're new on the team, you should have to do road tripping.
Well, I don't want to consider road tripping hazing. I want it to be maybe for
that's
Channing.
A poor branding.
Maybe for Channing, it's hazing. Yeah. It's like, Channing, you've been bad. Yeah. Now you have to record a podcast. So I don't want to consider it hazing. I want it to be something that guys, it's a part of our team. And you know, so many guys have done it. Kyrie, Kevin's been on it multiple times. Bron's been on it multiple times. I want it to be something that guys look forward to doing. And I think it's funny, after guys go to dinner with me and Channing and the entire team, and they see me and Channing sit next to each other, make fun of each other, crack
giggling,
joke, giggling, acting stupid, then these guys are like, yo, these Arizona dudes are a little different. And it's like, yeah, wait till you get on our podcast.
Is everyone aware of the podcast?
I don't know. I don't
By
know
now we, they are. Sure.
To a certain degree. I don't think we didn't really discuss it. We didn't really talk about it.
You didn't open with gifting a swag bag of road trip and stuff to each
player?
Actually
would have been a great idea.
It would have been a great idea. It's coming. Don't worry. I think everybody was in a spot where you're just kind of feeling each other out. The guys are getting back in. Just for instance, I have not been in Cleveland since I left after game 5. I haven't been.
You probably also haven't really left this beach since.
No, I have not. I have not. And that was the joke.
Except for a little trip to Palm Desert.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, that we had no idea was
happening. Yeah, I went to Palm Springs. Look, there's an outlet out there.
Oh, I know.
Well, you're Jewish.
Of course. I know the Lululemon.
Chanel
Torba. Yes, they do.
Go Boss is out there.
Yes. No, it's amazing. So I went there.
Cabazon.
Yeah, there's amazing stuff out there.
Yeah.
Oh, it's insane.
Yeah, and I 100%
Is that why you went?
Yes.
For the outlets?
Yes. One day. I literally.
Richard, of course that's why.
Yes.
Wait, I thought you were doing like a, get away with the wife before.
No, that's what he sold it to us when we had Clay Travis.
Yeah, we had like a whole podcast ready, call-in, set to go, and then all of a sudden I had to be the bad guy and cancel it.
I appreciate that.
That really sucked. Rich put it together. He's like, yeah, Monday, great. Get Clay Travis after his whole fiasco on CNN. Perfect.
What are you talking about? But I honestly, so.
Thanks, RJ.
Went there a couple days ago. Thank you, Alex. Yeah. Went there a couple years ago, and it was like, oh my God. So they have a Tom Ford outlet, they have a John Barbados, like really high level stuff. Now for us, I'm not a fashionista. You know what I'm saying? I'm not the guy that has the Tristan Thompson, the LeBron James.
You recently stopped wearing oversized t-shirts over your button down.
Exactly. So I like that.
I remember that.
That was my, thanks Corinne for telling everybody my fashion history. So it's like to go there, and especially during the season, to go get a couple of suits, to go get some nice jackets or nice sweaters for 80% off. Yeah, I'll drive an hour and a half to Palm Springs, stay one night, get away from the kids, go shopping. She buys some stuff. I buy some stuff.
Happy.
Yes, and then we drive back. So I couldn't get away.
I want to point out for anyone who's never been, this outlet is a major tourist attraction. Like there are busloads of like people that go to this outlet.
Just
how are you not attacked? Like as a celebrity going to this outlet,
most of the people are Asian.
Yes, no, I was gonna say that, and I was like, can you say that?
Yes,
it's busloads of Asians actually. They don't know who you are.
I'm talking about when I say Asians,
no,
I mean from Asia. Like you see
people,
see people with carts. like just dragging stuff because I think they resell it. So you can get it for 60-70% off, then go send it back or take it to a place. And if you sell it for 50% off, you're making money.
Right.
So So it's just like busloads of people.
I got my very first Coach bag from there and I still have it. I refuse to give it away. It's like a pink sling. Like it's ridiculous.
It's the easiest way to say you're a basic bitch without having to say it.
Oh, yeah, exactly. No, and I went. Like, no, it wasn't, didn't have the C's on it. It was like just a light pink leather. I mean, still could come back. Anywho, but my very first designer bag, back in the day designer bag, I went to the outlets and got it from Coach.
So I went to the Tom Ford outlet and you get in there and the guy was like, so what are you looking for? I was like, I'm looking to shop. What do we? I was like, what do we got?
You got the right guy.
You're like, I'm Julia Roberts.
Yeah. I was like, I'm Pretty Woman. Yeah. So it was literally like you go in there and it's 60% off of things, right?
It's insane.
It's insane. And I don't care who you are, how much money you have, what's your stuff. We're not going to go all kneading dough.
Everyone loves a deal.
Everyone loves a deal. So if you can go and get, so basically you can get 2 Tom Ford suits, 4 coats for the price of walking into the one on Rodeo and just getting 2 suits. Like you can get all of that. And so it was worth the trip. I really wish we could have podcasted.
Are we being sponsored by this?
We're not. But
this is quite the commercial.
Did you try to do a podcast? Because we
yeah, I don't know.
I wanted to.
And Geeter, you ghosted us.
Geeter, get me Big Game James this week. Okay. When are you gonna be here? And then just silence. And I'm in Santa Barbara. I'm in Palm Desert. So you're not here.
Yeah, you're not here.
Well, this is the thing. And
RJ's sneaky trip.
When we leave, for the season, like everyone goes back to their spots, right? Everyone goes, Channing's.
They crawl back into their holes.
Yeah, Channing's in Oregon. You know, Braun is wherever Braun is. Like guys are always. Kyle Korver lives in Santa Barbara, so it was an easy trip. Yeah, he's definitely working. So Kyle's in Santa Barbara, but guys kind of scatter. And then it's like, so you guys are my friends. We've all been friends for years, and everyone's like, "Yo, are we doing a big family dinner? Like you're leaving Saturday?" I was like, "Dude, I'm not going to fucking war." Okay.
But you do leave for 6 months.
Yeah, but
it's a long time. It's like,
I come back to LA for All Star Weekend. I come back to LA. Like, you were there for Thanksgiving.
Yes. You went to visit?
Yeah, Corinne came for Thanksgiving.
I usually come for at least Thanksgiving or Christmas every year. I'm not invited. I just keep coming.
We FaceTime.
Yeah. We FaceTime. We talk. So it's like, we play here in LA for multiple days.
Oh, man.
I come back here for All Star Weekend. So it's like, you're really gone for 2 months. Let's say 2 months and 2 month increments, right? But it's always this. And I typically do my Irish goodbye. Like, I don't tell people when I'm leaving.
Uh-huh.
I don't do anything. I just leave. They're like, I saw media today. When did you leave? Yeah. And I was I left like 3 days.
It's like me to Paul.
Smoke bomb.
I will not. I don't care. I was at a funeral on Tuesday, and I did Irish goodbye. That's true.
You can't Irish goodbye at a funeral.
It's just ingrained in me for so many years that I just go. I'm gone.
Yeah. You just don't like goodbyes.
That's what it is.
A funeral is the ultimate Irish goodbye.
Well, it's like you can literally spend 2 days saying goodbye to people.
No,
And then it's like, yo, do I really want to have everyone over at my house? It's like a goodbye. It's like,
they need to clean it up.
I'm really, I don't mind the cleaning. It's
he pays people.
Let's not pretend
like he's on a Tanzanian.
Staff walking through
It's 33 people here.
It's definitely somebody else's job. Definitely somebody else's job.
Well, I also feel like the whole summer is one big family dinner. Like every time we do something, there's a whole bunch of volleyball people. There's anytime we go out, anywhere here, everyone comes over to the man cave where we're in now. Like
the Red Cup Lounge.
Yeah, I knew you had a name for this.
Yeah,
Red Cup Lounge.
Yeah, don't ever call it a man cave. Like that's awful.
I didn't mean to get up there.
Hey, I don't want to switch gears too quickly, but because I don't really want to talk about me leaving anymore, right?
Yeah,
because he's gone.
Let's talk about the podcast, right? I want to talk about this summer, right? So, everybody here, and I know everyone misses Channing. I know everyone misses Allie, but everyone here brought something to the table, right? We've all been friends. We've all known each other a long time. Geeter, you get Robert Ory in here, right? Robert Ory
is a highlight.
That was a highlight. Robert Ory to this day is like our fifth most listened to podcast. It's above Tim Duncan. Alex, you get us in. I get to throw out the first pitch with Little Rich on there. You get us Mike Trout, the reigning MVP. Kenny Middleton, like you introduce us. You get Lamorne. Let's start with you, Corinne. So you get us Lamorne, and Lamorne has been friends. We've been friends for a few years. Corinne, I didn't know how many people really hate you.
I'm pretty hated.
Yeah, you are. I've never seen our comment section go, fucking hate her. I fucking love her. I fucking hate.
I'm polarizing.
Yes. It was. There was no middle ground with you. It was. If you ever have that bitch on again, I'm going to unsubscribe. And then the next comment would be like, "I'm in tears. She's the funniest girl I've had in a long time."
I saw those, and it makes me think of this, and I love it. Successful people in this world, they are loved and hated. The people that like everybody, those people aren't doing shit.
Yeah.
If you're loved and hated, then you're successful. It is awesome because I saw the same thing. The guy would be like, "She needs to be on every single week," and then the other guy was like, "It's just the guy telling me to shut the fuck up."
Yeah, I was like, right? "No, I fucking hate her."
Well, I didn't get cast on a reality show twice to be a middle of the road person, you know? Like,
yeah. And you embrace it. And so, as friends, we all get defensive, right? I remember Allie got defensive over you when somebody said something over Instagram. And it's like, "Tell that chick." And it was like, Allie was like, "Her name is Alex, and she is an accomplished, accomplished reporter."
She shut it down.
Yeah, she was like, "Yo, you're not going to mess with our people," which I love. But it was funny. You don't really give a shit.
No, I thrive on that.
You do.
I'm the only person to ever be booed at the live finale, and I blew kisses, and I was like, "Bring it!" Like, that's how you're memorable.
Yeah,
I don't give a shit.
No, I didn't know this. Like, incredible. I knew that you were a villain, and I knew that was.
God forbid he should actually listen to my podcast or watch any of my seasons.
No.
So as a
no
best
idea.
Friend, why would he?
No, I watched the first season, which it made me feel a little uncomfortable, right? Because I'm like, "Hey, everybody, my friend Corinne is going to be on a." Oh wait, she said what? She really said that.
Yeah.
It's funny. So, random segue. I saw Hamilton last night. Right. Amazing. Amazing.
I want to.
You're an In the Closet Broadway guy. You saw Book of Mormon.
Yeah, I know.
I heard that's hilarious.
Book of Mormon is over the top.
Can you buy me awesome. Can you buy me tickets to both?
No, I will not. No, I will not. But no. Book of Mormon. I love Lion King.
Yeah, you're a little more cultured than I think people realize.
No, I think people realize that. People think I'm cultured, but then when they hear this, they realize that I'm really kind of an asshole and smart ass. That's the part that I think is more of a revelation to people. But Aaron Burr, the guy in the show, it's like, smile less, smile more, talk less. Like, that was like his thing. That's not you. That's not how you're trying to get going. So
nope.
Don't change.
Don't change.
Guys.
Don't change. But it was really, really awesome. That was, to me, that was kind of eye-opening to see.
But you know what that is? It's being confident in who you are.
Yeah.
We can all learn a lot from that, actually, to be honest with you. I mean, there's a lot of sensitivity out there, me included. I mean, you get sensitive when people don't like you. And
you just got to own it, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever have a hard time with it?
No.
Never. Okay.
That's as real as you're gonna get.
No, it's amazing. Yeah. We've talked about it before on the podcast, and it's tough sometimes. Like, sometimes you get that one comment, and it just sticks with you.
Oh, yeah.
You can't, get rid of it. You're like, why the fuck do I care about
this?
It's
like, why are there 20 positive comments? Is
one
comment, and you're just like,
out.
Oh, I'm staring at that one. And it's just like, you had, 50 terrible comments.
But don't you feel like you used to care more? So what does that mean? Is it a bummer that we don't care as much?
I feel like Corinne, follows people that hate her. Right.
Well, yeah. I love a good, Twitter attack. I attacked somebody this morning,
I just woke up with a good Twitter attack.
I thrive on that.
Now, do you do that on your account, or do you have a troll account
like a Kevin Durant?
I can barely use Twitter. No, I get people come at me. I said something actually when you invited me to the concert Mariah Carey was in, and I was like, ugh, I don't like her. Her fans somehow, I didn't hashtag or anything. I got literally, there was 5,000 people went nuts.
Really?
And so I was like, oh, this is so much fun. So I just stoked the fire. And so I just kept on with it. Now her show is canceled. I was like, guess whose podcast hasn't been canceled? Mine. and I'm just like, how angry can I make people? I think it's funny.
No, it is fun. We were kind of talking. It was like, Corinne, you are definitely suited for the podcast game. I don't know if it's sports.
No.
I don't know if it's sports, but you're definitely suited for the podcast. Because
there's a whole other world out there.
There is a whole other world out there that I think you really could crush. Alex.
Oh, we're going down the line.
Yeah, we're going to go down the line. Because I want to talk about, just kind of how this whole thing kind of came about and how everybody, contributed to this.
Yeah.
Because really, without you three, I hate doing, I like talking way too much. So, but I hate talking to myself or one other person. Group conversations are, I think, where I thrive and where we all kind of enjoy. Mike Trout, Keenan.
Well, it started back with the detox.
Yeah, it
did. I think back in the beginning at Soho Yoga.
Yeah.
With Geeter and I, and we were taking a class with Leinart, and we're like, you guys want to start a podcast?
Yeah. Yeah.
Should we do a podcast?
Yeah, 100%.
We brought you in as a guest, and you never left.
Because I love to talk. I never left. Yeah.
And then it just kind of took over because we didn't do detox this summer. We did summer road tripping.
Yeah,
summer road. For the first summer.
Summer road tripping was really, really dope. It was fun, man, because I wanted to get Matt on here. I wanted to get the originals. I can't get him.
You asked in a text, and he wrote back, ha ha. And I'm like, does that mean you're fucking coming on, jackass?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, yeah, really.
Yeah, he just, no, he yeah, didn't he just, want to do
he's
it.
He's like, ha ha. And yeah. I'm like, yo, we could do like the start, like USC.
Yeah.
So seeing all the love he got at USC, which was awesome.
The high five. That was amazing.
Yeah, we're sitting down here just chilling, watching that, going back and forth between the Canelo fight and Triple G, and we're watching this and we're like, dude, this is awesome. Like, good for Matt Liner, who's one of our boys. Really kind of, you know, the whole podcast, everything was started because of that main group.
I always feel like I come to his defense, and I don't know why, but like, you'll see on Twitter people like, oh, any Heisman can win any bum can win the Heisman. When Matt Liner was a Notre Dame guy, and I went and looked it up, I'm like, he was 3-0 versus you for 1,200 yards and 13 touchdowns. It was like, the guy threw for 96 touchdowns.
Did you watch the 30 for 30
like
they did?
37-2.
He was one of the great college athletes of all time, right? Of all time, period. Like, he probably would have won two Heisman trophies if it wasn't for Reggie Bush,
one of the craziest years of all time.
Yeah.
His teammate.
Yeah, so go ahead.
Watch if you're not familiar, because we had already done a couple podcasts. I never really, like, I wasn't like living that life when he was the king, basically, of USC, and I watched the Trojan War, the 30 for 30 ESPN did, and it paints the picture so beautifully of how big of a celebrity he was in this town, and what he did, and how crazy that whole era was with him. Well, he turned that program into stardom.
It's so funny because after his career ended in the NFL, he started hanging out with us and playing volleyball, and you're like, this is just a good dude. He's a great dad.
That's how I know him through. You know, I met him through Nick Lachey, and I've watched him like raising coal. He's a very good dude.
So I always feel like
you come to his defense is not the right word, and it's like people always, well, your career wasn't this. Like, you know, look, he broke his collarbone. Then Kurt Warner goes on and has one.
Becomes
great,
Kurt Warner again.
Yeah, has like a great old man game. And so it's like, look, that's just part of
life.
That's part of life. It's part of sports. But what he did in L.A. when there was no football in L.A. Insane. And one thing that people don't fully understand, and what was to me which was so impressive as an amateur, it's so hard to have that type of attention on you, that amount of pressure in this type of environment, and deliver every fucking time.
And that's Snoop Dogg. It's Snoop Dogg at the practices.
Yeah, the practices. And it just delivers.
And be that young. And have to deal with that.
And it's like, yo, you're a celebrity. Like, you are in the same. You're in the Kobe Bryant, the Shaquille O'Neal. Like,
SC
in L.A.
was running game when the Lakers were on top. He was right there.
Yeah. Like, he would come. He would go to a Laker game and, you know, sit courtside. And all of a sudden, they'd put him up and get a standing ovation at a Laker game. Like, are you shitting me? When you're 21 years old, and then he would go out there and throw for 280 yards and three touchdowns against Notre Dame, and you're like, okay, this dude is pretty cool. But yeah, to be around him and to see how humble he is, even though he won't come back on our podcast,
he's doing really well on TV. I watched.
Yeah, he slimmed down. Yeah, Did you guys see that?
Yeah, he's
getting married next.
It's all the yoga.
He said he wanted to. He's like, I'm trying to slim down for the suits now.
Got a wedding coming up.
I asked him if he was healthy. I was like, are you okay?
Are you sick, Matt?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, Matt. Thanks for
Matt Liner podcast.
Thanks for caring, Matt. But Geet.
Yeah, buddy.
What up, man?
I take a lot of pride in being here because I'll tell you this. I'm not patting myself on the back.
Well, but you're about to.
Mm-hmm.
But, and RJ will tell you guys this, a couple of years ago, and this is before he went to Cleveland, and by the way, I was one of the guys that said you have to get to a contender when the Cleveland thing popped up, because his career was near the end.
Yeah.
But I knew he had a lot more in the tank. But we started talking about broadcasting, and I saw a lot in RJ. And I would tell him, I'm like, dude, when you're done, I'm telling you, you could have a great career, because I saw it in him. He was smart, funny, not afraid to say stuff, and really good and driven. So I knew he would be really good. That's why we brought him on the detox, and we told him, hey, you want to stay? And by the way, he just stayed.
Yeah.
And then as soon as Road Tripping came, he sent me Road Tripping. It was like, check this out. And I wrote back. I'm like, dude, you got something.
Yeah.
So I've always told him. So when I heard him, I called him the other day. Of course, Richard calls me back FaceTime. He likes to FaceTime me, which I like. He's walking in Santa Barbara. There was no chanting, unfortunately. But I said, dude, I just wanted to tell you, you were unbelievable on Bill Simmons. Now he's on Pardon My Take. When I heard him on Bill Simmons, there was like a little sense of pride I had that like
your kid was doing well.
Little buddy's all grown up, man. You do have a future in this. So for you to bring us on what you and Allie and Channing and Rafa have created, it's been a lot of fun for us. I have really enjoyed this.
Well, I had to not convince my team, but they were like, so what are we going to do? And I was like, don't worry, guys. Yeah. I got this covered.
Yeah.
And they were like, what? I was like, well, Alex. And they were like, well, what about us? Like, because we were Allie came out here a couple of times. Yeah. So she was planning on coming out here. Rafa, they went and you met them in Vegas. You met them in Vegas. So they were it's not like they were trying to abandon ship.
Yeah.
They were just
picking
time. They were like, so what are you going to just ditch us? And I was like, no. But I got a crew of people that I think the fans are going to love, that love doing this and will, you know, shift their schedules. Like, you came from a haircut this morning. You have another wedding to do.
Looks great. Another wedding.
Another wedding to do. You're driving. Where are you going?
Well, just got off a 10-game homestand last night. Yes. And then heading to Big Bear. My husband's playing a festival up there.
Okay. And you, what are you doing?
I'll be going to a children's hospital later to sell genetic testing, because that's what I do.
Not as sexy as everybody else, but she's
sorry,
doing,
guys. I have a real job.
It's like, how does even her job?
Thank you. You guys just met. The guy I'm currently dating is 22.
Oh my god!
I feel like that's the highlight of the summer.
He looks fucking 19.
He does.
Is it a boyfriend?
Young.
I don't use that title. But
he's like an
arm
candy.
Are you officially a Mrs. Robinson right now?
I look like an arm candy. I prefer. Do you watch Arrested Development?
I love
Buster and Lucille. Or Motherboy. Yeah. I went to buy alcohol at Ralph's the other day, and I present my ID, and then he presents his, because, you know, he's only been buying alcohol for a year, and he thinks you both have to give your ID. And the guy looks, and he's real chatty, annoying, stupid, like 55-year-old grocer.
Bombs
and
back.
He's like, and he goes, oh, I see the resemblance. And like a fucking freight train. I'm like, no. And he goes, your son, yeah? And I was like, no. Yeah. It was the worst moment of my life. Oh, yeah. Wow.
By the way, it's one of the great moments of my life. And I wasn't even there.
Because you actually have kids.
That is awesome.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was a low blow, man. My entire family has been referring to him as JonBenet because he's a model.
My
he's
God.
Young. Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. So getting a lot of Twitter comments on that.
We're going to get a lot of Twitter comments.
Yeah, we are.
Anyways, that was the highlight of my summer.
Did you snort your mouth and
Alex? You guys, I met him and I had that same reaction. Like, right here. They were standing right here. And I convinced you to stay that night. I was like, you have to hang out. We haven't hung out yet.
Yeah.
You need to say, who is this guy? You're like, oh, I'm like, we're dating. I'm sleeping with him.
And just over the years, I think it was last summer, right? It was last summer, and we were all at
that was the summer of Rich.
The summer of
Rich. After the Cats won the championship, we were down 3-1.
We were all at different bars, right? We were all at, again, we start at one spot, we bounce around. Oh, I'm going to go here, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I come back, and at like, it's like 2:30, I see Corinne on my front porch with a grit and a kid. Literally, when I say a kid,
I have a problem with age. I can't tell.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I get older, they say the same age.
They say the same age. Way to go. God, love those high school chicks. Yeah. So I see Corinne, and I don't know what I was doing. Maybe it was a bike, or I get out in an Uber.
Yeah.
And she's sitting out there with a kid, right? Now, I know she was crashing at our house that night because she lives up in Hollywood. And so I get out of the car, and I'm hammered, but I look at her and the guy that she's with, and I just walk by
her, and
I go, no. And I go, because at some point in time, I'm going to have to explain to Affy why there's a guy, why there's a 19-year-old kid making eggs in our
kitchen. You're going to have to check IDs. Like, show me your ID before you come in the house. Like, we have an age
limit.
The
best is that after you go inside, and I'm like, oh, I guess I can't.
All right.
So Erica shows up, and Erica looks at him, and she goes, what year are you in school? And I was like, what are you talking about? Because I have no idea. And she goes, what year are you? And he goes, a senior. And she goes, what year are you really? He goes, a junior. And Erica's like, shut it down, Corinne. Shut it down.
What's up, guys? This is Rafa. Before we get back to the summer finale episode, I have a question for all of you. How many of you would like to look good and feel comfortable in your underwear? I know that is a perfect balance that is hard to find, but you no longer have to sacrifice style or comfort. Don't take my word for it. Visit MeUndies.com and find the best pair of underwear in the whole wide flat world. You see, not only MeUndies is giving our loyal listeners 20% off your first pair and free shipping if you visit MeUndies.com/road, but MeUndies will be the most comfortable pair of underwear you will own. If you think cotton is soft, The sustainably sourced, naturally soft fabric of MeUndies is 3 times softer than cotton. For all you fellas, MeUndies Diamond Seam Pouch cradles your family jewels and give your stuff the support it needs without feeling too tight, like one of those compression shorts. Trust me, the ladies will love the soft, eco-friendly fabric because it is so soft and touchable. And if that's not enough, MeUndies gives you 100% satisfaction guarantee. That means they guarantee that you will love your undies or your money back. Trust me. You got nothing to lose. Give them a try. Visit MeUndies.com/road and get 20% off your first pair of underwear. Start wearing the best underwear of your life. It changed my life. It's time to let MeUndies change yours. Go to MeUndies.com/road right now.
Do you know the movie Dazed and Confused?
Yeah, that was the line I
Yeah, that's what you said. Okay, mm-hmm. David Wooderson.
I was I literally just walked by her. Didn't say a word, looked at her, and just goes, no. And because I was like, no, this guy's not going to wake up on my couch.
It's not, like, I'm not having this on my watch.
No, this is not. But yeah. You do have a little bit. Like, your stories are epic. I don't know if they're for a sports podcast. No,
there's nothing wrong with it. It is something to celebrate. I think it's for the podcast.
Normally, it's men that are walking around with knives, and then their friends all judge. Norms. It's just like, oh, really? What high school did you find her in? And guys, like, stick out their chest. Yeah. And they're like, well, she's actually 22. And he's like, no, dude, it's not okay.
Like, was he wearing a corsage straight from prom or what?
My dad, I asked my parents if he could come to my house upstate. And they're like, if he has a permission signed by his parents, he can.
Oh, my God.
Your parents are pretty funny, too.
At their house as you are at
your parents sound pretty funny.
Yeah.
Wow, she didn't get this demented just by herself.
I mean, they're calling her boyfriend Jean Bonnet.
So good.
It's sick, and it's good.
It is sick, and it's funny. So, speaking of the movie Dazed and Confused, we're going to be segue monsters here.
Yeah.
So, for all of our fans out there, the 10 of you that are listening from around the world, we have a lot of people in Australia. I don't know if we really got into the numbers back in the day, but a lot of you guys from Australia, we love. I saw Deli this summer. I'm going to try and get Deli on at some point in time.
Oh, he's so cute.
I know he just got married, but awesome. Thanks. Stop. Hey.
But he looks
I
like
would say he's too young for you, but we'll know that's not his style.
And he looks like a young boy, and she likes
He does. He does. He likes that. But we're going to do every sports movie that we can find, we're going to do a movie review.
So send us a list too. Like fans could send us. We're gonna miss some.
Yeah. So I just did Blades of Glory, right? And Golden Hoops, our guy, is going to do some editing. But you know, I get all the time. One of the things that we talk about in at our dinners, like even in Santa Barbara, we were talking. It's like, yo, what's the 10 best basketball movies, or what's the 5 best basketball movies, or what's the best sports movie, or who's the funniest, or what? So we always have these arguments, and we always have these conversations. So we kind of had the idea. Well, what do you say if we just review every sports movie? Now, that's a lot. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to do just good ones. We want to do shitty ones, like Who's My Caddy? There's a bunch of ones that I don't. There's like The Natural is a great movie, but I just don't feel like watching The Natural.
Yeah.
But there's a bunch of movies. Hoosiers, I've seen 115 times.
One of my favorites.
So we're going to do a bunch of movie reviews. So fans, I want you guys, once you guys start seeing these and putting out, you see us putting out, we're going to be on our road tripping Instagram and Twitter. We're gonna put them out. But everyone here is gonna do some. Okay. So everyone's gonna do some, and then we need you guys to send us which ones you want to see, because I think Corinne hasn't seen many sports movies.
No, I've only seen the like pretend sports movies. Like my first one I want to do is Bring It On.
Oh, Bring It On.
Yeah.
Which is a cheerleading movie.
Cheerleading a sport.
Yeah. Cheerleading. I cheerleaded in high school.
Yeah.
Okay. No.
In Florida.
No.
You've seen like Happy Gilmore.
Wait a second.
He's so excited
this
to
bitch
tell
right
you
here, this bitch right here, she always wants to tell my stories, right? She's in my phone as Matt Cat Corinne. Why is she in my phone as Matt Cat Corinne?
Why?
So, Corinne was a cheerleader, right? Mm-hmm. You come across as a full-on mean girl cheerleader. Mm-hmm. Like, that is who you are.
1,000%.
Like, that is who she is,
like,
right?
You have even the cheerleader smile.
Yeah, even to this day, like she's smiling like when she's talking bad to me.
Like,
shit to you.
Friday at school when you were in high school, you had your uniform on and you stared at girls down the hall.
And I had the uniform. My grandmother shortened it, so it was, like, right below the cooch.
Oh, yeah.
It was right as slutty as humanly possible. Yeah.
So, were you on the JV team?
No, you're forgetting the best part. I was not a cheerleader for basketball or football. I did wrestling. I was a Mat Cat. But I still can claim cheerleader.
Wait, are you? She's being serious.
Does that mean you're on the C team? Like, who gets
C team?
Yeah, who does?
I've never even seen this.
Will Ferrell did it as a skit in SNL.
Do you know how hard it is to cheer in wrestling? You're in the stands.
Like, what do you
like doing jumping jacks in the stands, and it's very quiet.
What do you do? Like, great takedown. Great takedown.
It's literally
It's the only sport I know about.
Take him down.
Yeah, seriously. it was literally when I – okay, so we all know the Spartan cheerleaders, right? The Spartan cheerleaders with Will Ferrell. They made fun of wrestling.
Right.
Like, they did chess.
I didn't know they were real. I thought that was a fake.
I didn't know either. So I think I saw a picture, and she literally was a cheerleader.
And I never volunteered that information. And we went out to dinner, and my other friend who cheerleaded with me – I would never have told him that.
Oh, I heard it, and I was like, oh, you were – and they were called Matt Cats,
Matt Cats.
Yeah, so she's in my phone as Matt Cat Corinne, right? I swear to God.
That is – by the way, what is a very underrated part of the story, your grandmother shortened your skirt for you?
Yeah.
This is unbelievable. You are a reality show.
Yeah. She is. She's a full-on, like, right?
Like, grandma's like, no, you don't look hoe
enough. You shouldn't be able to see the bloomers without bending over. You could see my bloomers.
Oh, you're just standing there.
Yeah, by the way. Upright. You could see
the bloomers. By the way, that makes me horny.
Yeah, it makes you. Oh,
this is so funny because, like,
we're talking about her in high school, though.
Okay, we got to do polar opposites.
You know what? This is disgusting.
Because,
like, my high school, like, I was in my soccer uniform. Like, I looked like.
Yeah, you were going to school every day just in your.
No, like, I mean, I had, like, you know, the hard tail at the time, like the Rocket Dogs, like short little, like I was a girly girl tomboy.
You're a Mira Costa girl.
Yeah. What do you think the football and basketball cheerleaders thought of the Matt Cats?
We didn't have those.
No, what do you think at Corinne's?
We didn't have Matt Cats.
Were you on the same team?
I've never heard of
them. We didn't have Matt Cats.
Explain to me.
I just wish you could see RJ's face because he's puzzled.
Okay, all of us are athletes.
Yeah.
Minus Corinne. She is the cheerleader of the group, which is fine.
Everyone needs one.
So we don't understand how we see cheerleaders for all of these sports. I've never seen cheerleaders for wrestling. How did that happen?
We had a shitty football team. Our football team won 0 games. Our baseball team was pretty bad too. But our wrestling team was number one in the state. So we were like, fuck it. Like, we should have a cheerleading team for the wrestlers because they're good.
Yeah.
But the reality is the cheerleaders for the wrestlers were the worst cheerleaders. And also, because I went to a bougie sleepaway camp in the summers, and you had
to... Tell me more about the sleepaway camp.
Those are all the good stories. I got kicked out of 3 of them for beating up other campers. Anyways, irrelevant.
Is this sleepaway camp, like, at all, what is it, White Hot American Summer?
Yes. So they shot White Hot American Summer at one of the camps that my family, like, my cousins go to. Yeah.
No way.
Yes, Where did you grow up, by the way?
Florida.
And that's like a big thing, sleepaway camps? Because we didn't
know. No, it's a big thing for Jews. It's just straight up Jews.
My mom, yeah. So my mom's Jewish. And yeah, my mom went to a sleepaway camp.
I never understood that. Look at Dieter's over here sweating.
Let me explain to you.
We got to spend more time.
Let me explain to you how much roughing it is involved. There's air conditioned bunks. I'm not even in a non air conditioned cabin. Like, it's all, we had trips to the mall. Yeah, everything.
You know what I keep thinking? This poor young 22-year-old doesn't have a chance.
No.
Yeah, no. So
she's going
to
eat him alive.
So anyway, because I went to camp over the summers, the good cheerleaders had to go to cheer camp. And I was like, I don't fucking go to cheer camp. So the only cheerleading you didn't have to go to a camp for over the summers was the shitty wrestling cheerleading. That's how I decided to be a Matt Cat. But it didn't matter. A cheerleading uniform is a cheerleading uniform.
Yeah.
I still, I was popular.
Okay. We've established
that. That's what really matters.
We've established that. That you weren't very good.
My dance card was full. Thank you.
I want to go back to sleepaway camp.
Yes.
What are sleepaway camps like? Like, I'm just saying, I didn't really have.
Well, there aren't any black people at them.
Okay, that's good. That's good. Oh, jeez. So, I can imagine that I didn't have very much money growing up.
That's not why I played Little League.
No, I'm not going that. I'm saying I literally every day during the summer, my parents would leave me like $1.50, 50 cents for
ice cream truck.
No, 50 cents for like the bus, or like 75 cents for the bus, a dollar to get a Whopper at some point in time at lunch, and then I would work my way home, right?
Good old days.
Yeah,
you are now.
You get a transfer for the bus. So
He has a staff cleaning his shit. You can hear him upstairs right now.
That's a little rich. You get a transfer for the bus so you can get back in like 3 hours. Anyways, so that's how I spent my summers.
They were all a little different, but
this is a Jewish thing?
Yes, it's a very Jewish thing. But the sleepaway camp themselves, there's activities, and you get to make your own schedule, and the activities are outrageous. Like, one is go-karts. There's a full go-karting track. One is rock climbing. There's a whole rock climbing thing. I really liked, because I'm a weirdo, I like trapeze.
So you were talking about trapezes.
Tramp pieces?
Tramp pieces.
Speaking of. So I did, like, they had a full club med setup, and I was obsessed with, like Carney and becoming, like, a trapeze artist. You know, I have a ventriloquist doll. You know, I'm into some magic. I'm a weirdo. I know.
You say these things and I forget because it's not a normal thing. Mm-hmm. And then you say it again and it's like, no, she really is into, she has a ventriloquist doll.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that's freaky.
And it's weird. But so like, it's only Jewish people.
Anybody can do it, but for whatever reason, it's basically all Jews.
Jews want to get rid of their kids.
Because it's real. Yeah, for
like,
sure.
Did you have your first makeout at camp? Like,
I was going to get into that. First time I smoked weed, somebody, a local passed it through the fence. We rolled it up in a tampon wrapper. Like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Chemical heavy, that joint was. Yeah. The first everything happens at sleepaway camp.
Everything happens.
Everything?
So it's like band camp.
Yeah.
Apparently it's like band camp.
That one time?
Yeah. Did you have flutes at sleepaway camp?
I mean everything you're thinking happened.
How did you get kicked out?
Okay, well, there's a couple of different stories, but
how many camps did you get kicked out of?
Two. And then one was like a warning. So one of them, there was a girl that, this is going to make me sound terrible.
There's nothing that you can say.
Saved in, Gabrielle Union's phone under this girl's name, which I'm not going to give out. Cause she heard this story and much like you with the Mad Cat story, was like, I'm changing your name in my phone.
Yeah.
So this girl, there's one exception to the people at camp. If your mom works at the camp, you can go to the camp for free.
Oh no.
I know.
Oh, those biatches.
You went mean girl.
Yes, I did. Yeah. So anyways, I didn't like her. She didn't belong, and she always wore the camp shirt every day, which you don't do.
Oh, jeez.
I know. It's going down a bad path.
Honestly, like, I've heard so many stories. I know so much about you. Like, yes, this is probably going to make you sound bad.
By the way, that girl's still a counselor there.
I am not.
Yeah, I know.
I am not like this anymore. But
you're still lying. They know you from Survivor.
I got into an altercation with her, and
okay, you don't have to go into full details because I don't want you to be too mean, but just give us the gist.
She wrote in her diary some
you read her diary.
We shouldn't have a diary at sleepaway camp. Everyone knows not to have a diary at sleepaway camp.
No, I did not know.
I didn't know that. I sent my daughter with a little journal this summer.
You should not have done that. Okay, is there a lock on that? So I highlighted with my little highlighter the parts where she's like self-deprecating, you know, and I posted it on the flagpole.
You posted it on the flagpole?
That's like out of a movie.
I know. And then I got in a lot of trouble. They figured out it was me. It wasn't very hard. And so then I was really angry. So then I hit her with a tennis racket. And his face. So anyways, I hope she's doing well.
That's assault.
I know.
Yeah.
In most states, that's wrong.
In every state, that's assault. Talking about?
In most states.
That was a couple. Yes. Gosh.
Yeah, it's fine in Canada, but no. So, and then the other one, the situation was worse. I was a CIT, which is in between camper and counselor, and I was dating another CIT. And at night, every night, for I don't know how long, one of the campers, so the difference is 17 versus 14. The last camper age is 14. At 17, you're a CIT. At like 18, you're a counselor.
So your parents really wanted to get rid of you. They're like, you're going as long as you can.
So I'm smoking
weed with LSD.
I'm 17, and there was a 14-year-old. I was dating another CIT. He was 17. Mm-hmm. This 14-year-old camper was sneaking into his bunk at night and sucking him off.
Oh.
Yeah. So I did. I wake up. Well, I don't know.
That.
What's a better way to say that? Playing his flute? I don't know. What's the kitschy?
What wind instrument
do you blow into?
Yes, I think playing the flute was a
cool
better one.
So I wake up in the morning, and it's illegal for camper counselor relationships. I wake up in the morning, and I'm like, where's Noah? Obviously Jewish name. Where's Noah? Noah's not at breakfast. And they're like, he's been fired. I was like, for what? And they're like, he had a camper counselor relationship. I was like, no. I'm also a counselor. And they're like, yeah. And I was like, where is this bitch? So I now stand up. I have a camp. Like, my cabin is full of 8-year-olds. And I'm screaming every expletive, like, the worst role model ever. And I'm like, this fucking cunt. Where is this fucking... And so I see her. They have her down by, like, the waterfront, which is down the hill from the cafeteria where we're at. And I just go running as fast as I can, like, a million miles an hour. And they can see me coming, but no one is prepared for it. Like, I'm going so fast at her. I grab her head, and I start slamming it into the metal water fountain because I didn't know what else to do.
Oh.
Yeah, but she deserved it. She later found me at a college party at UF. And she was like...
She what?
She found me at a college party at UF. And I was pumping the keg, and this girl, I'm, like, looking down, and she's like... are you Corinne? And I was like, yeah. And she's like, I think you might know me from sleepaway camp. I'm like, which one? I went to like 5. And I'm still pumping. I don't look up. She goes, and she says her name. I look up, and I was like, oh, it's on.
You trying to find her
again? We did it again.
You want her again.
And then I had security throw her out. Yeah. And Noah was at the party. We were still friends.
How ironic. It comes full circle with Noah.
Just why would you point that out to me? Like, what did you think was going to happen?
You know,
that I was an adult and I got over it?
So one of the things that when we first did the podcast with Corinne and Lamorne, I was like, hey, now, Corinne, before, make sure you know that this is not about you, Corinne. This is about the guest. Well, I'm going to be honest. This is all about you right now.
Yeah. Those fans that maybe thought they would hear how Isaiah Thomas looked at Santa Barbara camp, you're not kidding.
But now I think fans understand, like, when you have friends, it's like, yo, who can I find that can tell goofy, dumbass stories?
We don't need a guest.
For a podcast. And it was like, oh, yeah, I think Corinne would enjoy that.
My jaw has been open like this whole time. Like, I am just like in shock. Shock.
Okay, so you're not having Jewish. A great time. You didn't go to sleepaway camp.
So my mom did, because my mom grew up in Beverly Hills. And it was she tried to get me to go to sleepaway camp. And I was like, oh, hell no. I'm not leaving the beach.
You're not leaving here.
I'm not leaving the beach. So we did junior lifeguards.
Okay.
And that's what you do in the summer. Yeah. Like, you do JGs and you can go to the beach by yourself.
How long is sleepaway camp?
8 weeks. You can go 4 weeks or 8 weeks. I always went 8.
Your parents were like,
yeah, they were like, get the fuck out. Yeah.
So when you got kicked out of this camp, did you just go home or did you go to another camp?
Great question. For the situation when I was a CIT, because I was 17, your parents have to sign a waiver saying you can get on an airplane by yourself. And my father, because he had been so sick of getting these phone calls every summer, when they put me on the phone, I was like, Daddy, something happened and they would like me to come home. And he goes, put someone else on the phone. He goes, what happens if I don't sign the release? They're like, well, she can't have contact with any campers. We're going to have to stick her in the mailroom the rest of the summer. He goes, stick her in the fucking mailroom.
No.
He wouldn't accept delivery of his daughter. So I had to stay at camp.
Yes.
Well, as a father, I fucking respect that.
Yeah, it was a move.
He wouldn't accept delivery of his daughter. He's like, well, what happens? We're just going to stick her in a room and she's going to be there all day. She can eat, but that's it.
Yeah,
that's fine.
So, it was summer after summer of good times.
Oh my God, your dad didn't accept delivery. Please tell me it was only like 10 days left.
No, it was like a solid 3.5 weeks. I had to sit in a mailroom and sort mail. I wasn't allowed to do any activities. I wasn't allowed to talk to the campers. Yeah.
As much as I'm on your side,
that's hilarious.
And I'm a fan and I love you as a friend.
You deserve that.
Yeah. But the crazy thing is I won the perfect attendance award every year in high school. I had straight A's my whole life. I went to school on a full academic scholarship. I was just a bad girl in the summer. Like, it was just, like, the time when I wild out. Other than that, you know, I'm very
And then
normal.
When you graduated for the rest of your life.
The
rest of your life.
And then she was wild for the rest
of life. So, yeah, I was good in school, and then after that, I was a jackass.
Did they have a talk with you before you left? Like, listen, Corinne, your career path doesn't involve being a counselor or a CIT.
Yeah, that was obvious. I think it was like, are you going to go into wrestling or? Yeah,
well, by the way, a Matt Cat.
Yeah, Matt I mean, Cat. I have the I'm whole really, background for it.
I'm really into the cheering for wrestling, but wow, so –
What a finale this is.
What a summer recap, right? Guys, I just want to say for our team, thank you guys. This summer was a lot of fun. I didn't know what to expect. We had some fun audio things, lost a couple of podcasts, like driving around to LA.
You got mad at me and Rafa.
I got mad at you and Rafa.
We were on a boat.
The body glove boat was dope.
You didn't get mad. You just said you scolded us.
You pissed off Lindsey Vonn. And didn't even know.
Oh.
Didn't even so okay.
What
so, so Lindsey Vonn is she's a friend.
Oh. She's kind of hard to piss off. She's like,
no.
One of my favorite people.
No, she's amazing. So she came on the podcast. I don't remember the episode, but she was amazing. And so we
I was just drinking a Corona.
We were just drinking a Corona. Now, mind you, most of the time we record, we're in the Red Cup Lounge. So we're laying on the couch, we're sitting up, we're standing up, we're doing whatever the hell we want. So I had been to Lindsey's house before because, you know, Channing and just mutual friends and stuff. And so we'd had drinks over there and before. So I've seen her kind of like snap, but just like, hey, that's a white couch. Could you not get on there? Because I think she has like a pool and jacuzzi right there. So it was like, you know, maybe it might have been her sister or somebody like sat on it and was like still wet. It was like, hey, could you not, right? And so we start recording this podcast, right? And Lindsey is sitting right there. And Geeter, beer in hand, Corona. Like, she invites us into her house. So, like, I'm all trying to be respectful. I'm, like, taking the bottle cap instead of just flinging it. Like,
Allie's
like,
you're doing your own home. I remember how nervous Allie was.
Allie's nervous. She loves her. And, like, Allie's, like, a huge fan. Geeter, right? Flip-flops, kicked off, right? laying down sideways, laying down sideways
on
a white couch.
Dude, I was at the L part of the couch.
Yeah, so he was like, it was like, and it was like his feet were like, his dirty. Feet were like behind me. Well, they're flip-flop feet. Like here.
Yeah, I played volleyball 3 times. That's rank-ass feet up on that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like, he's got his feet up on our couch. And so I see her talking to us mid-podcast. I see her talking to us, but kind of like distracted.
Like, is this motherfucker really?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. Like really, really. Yeah, like, because, you know, everyone doesn't know that it's a very, very casual. And she's so respectful that she doesn't want to, like, just like, hold on a second. Can you get your fucking feet off my couch? What the fuck are you doing? You think that couch is white on accident?
Yeah.
Like, whatever.
And the so level of professionalism, Geeter, is really.
And so he's super, because again, the podcast, like, again.
Well, it's also a beach lifestyle. That's beach what you lifestyle. Do. You take your shoes off and you put your shoes off.
Red Cup Lounge. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And it was like, that's just like, there's a reason why I have a dark gray couch.
Yeah,
right?
You have to have color.
You have to have color.
Listen, this is a misstep by me.
No, so this is funny. So I see her, I see her kind of getting distracted while she's like doing like her interview, right?
Yeah.
And at first I was like, why does she look like, and so I forgot who was behind us. So I was like, well, no, they're not there. And so I'm literally here trying to rack my brain. And I literally see, like, Geeter, like, just stomping his feet into her,
like a
white
Neanderthal.
Couch. No, yeah, seriously. Like, he's Rick
Stop
James.
And, oh, fuck your couch. Fuck your couch.
Like, he's sitting here doing this. And I'm sitting here, like, now I start to sweat, right? Like, I start to get uncomfortable.
By the way, I'm smiling, having a great time.
Yeah, he's having a great time.
No
Got
clue.
Corona, asking questions. And so, like, what I do is I, like, and this is, again, I lean back. Right, so I leaned back. So like I was like, yo, scoot over, man, scoot over. So I leaned back, so he has to like lift up his feet and like put him down, right? And then I saw her start to loosen up after that. But it was like the whole time I'm just like, because I knew what was going on.
Yeah. Glad you caught it in the beginning of the.
Oh, interview. In the beginning, and I was like, because in my head I was like. His fucking Geeter really got his fucking couch up on or his feet up on Lindsey Vonn's white
Dude,
couch.
Yeah, how cool is that?
It is cool for us.
I thought it was great. That was a really bad high five, Monkey.
Yeah. But no, man, there were so many.
We had some highlights.
Yeah, we had some highlights. That was some funny.
Well,
shit.
On behalf of everybody, I just want to say, you guys took some big ownership and you guys were phenomenal. But Allie, Rafa, Channing, you guys really welcomed us all in, which is really cool. I mean, we're all on a text chain.
Too.
I mean, Allie and I connected right away. It was a lot of fun kind of being a part of that. So,
yeah, Corinne, you did your first podcast ever.
Yeah.
and then you end up being in Vegas at the exact
same
time.
Yeah, I got
time.
So lucky. Yeah, and I'm a huge UFC fan. Like it's the only sport you could have put me on a podcast for that I actually was like intelligent and knew what I was talking about.
So, okay. Let's tell one more story before we got to go. So, Corinne, huge podcast person, Alex. So, we come to LA. And I was like, Alex, I would love to get you on the podcast. Corinne and I talked about it. And so we come to my house and we're going to record. But Channing is like, yo, guys, can we record in Beverly Hills? So I was like, fuck. Okay. So I was like, and Alex is like, yo, my doctor's over there. Corinne's like, look, it's fine. I wanted to be on this podcast. I love
Like, I'll
podcast.
Move mountains. I just want
to
do it.
I'll drive. So we'll drive from Hermosa Beach to Beverly Hills where our team is staying to meet up with Channing so the whole group can do it together. And so we're kind of BSing. We go and do this. We drive there, and we were going to record here. So we get there. We get to the hotel. So it's Rafa, Allie, Alex, Corinne. We get there, and someone goes, okay, good. We're all set up. We're ready to go. Who's got the mics?
And they're like, Alex, it's in your car.
It's in your car. And
I took them out of my car and put it on your dinner table. I thought I was being good bringing it inside.
Because we were going to record there, and so I brought them in. No one grabbed them. So we had no mics, right? We had no mics. So we couldn't record.
Didn't work.
So mind you, we've been driving around.
The whole day has been around this.
All day is about recording a podcast. And
delicate little Channing.
And we finally get the group together and do this. Now, Corinne starts losing her shit.
This was my first impression of Corinne. Allie and I are
like. Can I get a timeline when this was?
This was when we
played 11 a.m. after Soho Yoga. We all did Soho Yoga together.
Yeah.
Then we came here.
No.
Down here. Then we all came here.
Yeah. I got here about noon, maybe.
Yeah.
We're
going to record.
Already having like a little bit of a flip. Yeah. This was incredible. I was like,
because you've been driving around.
This is March.
Yeah.
Played LA.
Yeah. And so we decide to go back up there and do it. Now, we all, like, she starts losing her shit. She starts, she literally starts going sleepaway camp.
Yeah, you should take out the popcorn. If I start to go over the edge, it's a fucking descent into madness. Like, I start to really lose it.
Allie and I make eye contact, and I'm like, is this shit going
down?
What
the fuck is going on? And I was like, well, how, we can't, I was like, it's going to take us 45 minutes to go there, get the things, because I had to lock up my house because it's going to be empty again for
alarm went off.
Yeah, so I was like, we're going to have to, I can't just, like, send somebody there to the house because it's, like, alarm code, all their stuff, whatever. And so,
but I look at Rich like, throw money at the problem, fix the problem, and he's like, there's nothing I can do.
And so Allie goes, well, maybe we can just have you call in. She's like, call-ins are shit, I don't want to do call-ins. So Allie gets out,
which I thought was just obvious, like, I don't know who would want to listen to me in general. No one knows who I am. I'm the least famous person available. I'm also gonna call in with shit audio.
It was hilarious. So she, like, has a full-on shit fit.
Allie gets, 2-year-old tantrum.
Allie gets pissed off, and then Alex is like, yo, what's going on? And like, again, we wasted half of your day. And so I was like, so annoyed, because we've had so many mishaps that people don't always know about. But point is like, Allie was like, Richard, I don't understand this whole Corinne thing. And I'm like, no, it's just a friend. And she's really a passionate person.
Yeah.
You're trying to
explain. I didn't either. I was like, what is this?
But it was so funny when you were in Vegas and you knew so much about UFC, and Allie doesn't really know that much. She texted on the chain with me and Rafa and was like, Richard, I'm so glad Corinne was there.
Aww.
She was like, I'm so glad Corinne was there. And that's one of the things, again, it's a compliment to you. You had come a long way. They weren't really sure.
I mean, I'm good at podcasting. I'm not good with patience. Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, that's not my thing.
I'm going to miss my Cleveland connection, the 216.
Yeah, the 216.
Because they'll probably be mad when I start tweeting and everything about Lakers. Nonstop. No. That's my job, though.
Yeah, that's your job. You're like, but the good thing is
I got a lot
we're
of love
going
love
to do the movie reviews, so you guys can all still stay connected. So next summer, we can all get the band back together. Yeah. The fans will know. We'll have more people that are drawn in.
Are we off the text chain?
No, with the text chain.
Yeah, do we get to be on the text chain? I had to silence that. Like, I didn't know you could actually sleep it so it doesn't buzz every time someone.
Every time, welcome to 2017.
Dude, hello. Obviously, you don't do anything weird on the side.
You still have an iPhone 2. That's awesome. Yeah. That's great.
New one today. Right. Okay.
Yeah. How's your BlackBerry?
Yeah. We're going to do the movie reviews. I think it'll be dope as a group just to kind of fuck around and do that. So, but again, thank you guys. It's been a hell of a summer. The next time you guys hear a podcast, it will be fucking Channing. I don't know who our guest is going to be, but we're going to have an interesting guest. So
can't wait to read the comments when Channing does come back.
Oh, when Channing does it come back,
He
can do no wrong.
it's so annoying.
It's so annoying.
He just needs the free Casper mattress. 100%. We're still waiting on those.
I know. Good luck with that. It's going to be terrible. But what's your Twitter and Instagram, Corinne?
Sure, I'm at Corinne Sanity on both Twitter and Instagram, and the podcast is All the Fixins.
Okay. Twitter and Instagram, Alex.
At Alex _ Curry, Curry.
And Chris?
At Geeter3, GEETER3, Instagram and Twitter.
Why did you say it like such a schmuck?
He said it like such a schmuck. And for the road tripping crew, it's been a hell of a summer.
I also officiate weddings, so it goes me and Cleveland.
Yeah. It's time to get the season started. Next time you hear us, it will be basketball season. NBA season is here. So for the crew, for everybody, I'm Richard Jefferson.
Road tripping, boo!
Road tripping. Talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Hey, Road Trippin' fans, don't forget, we are working with a t-shirt company that you may have seen around, Amish. They're the ones that are responsible for LeBron's Ultimate Warrior shirt and many of the college designs you see on tees. As they pay homage to great moments in sports and inspiring stories, go check out their NBA Jam tees at homage.com. You're sure to be inspired and we'll get a kick out of their special design of Richard and Channing. Get them while they're still in stock at homage.com.